All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, presented by Betano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year for best sportsbook operator. Everything you need to get in on the action over at betano.ca. We're live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, where we are looking for inbox questions. I see a couple coming in already. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk. He's Frank Saravalli. Frank, how's it going?
I'm good. So much happening. One of the biggest games of the year on the slate tonight. Pens Caps, as the Penguins are suddenly alive. And oh yeah, there was a line brawl to start off a game last night.
Yeah, let's start with that. That's the exciting storyline. Last night, Madison Square Garden. Boy, did we ever get a tilt between the New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils right off the puck drop, and everyone expected Rempe and McDermott. I mean, as soon as you see them in the starting lineup, you're like, okay, those two are going. Frank, my jaw dropped when I saw everybody else drop their gloves.
I love just Chris Tierney's face right off the draw when he realized, okay, this was going to be a thing. And he's like, oh, and he just has to grab someone. And look, there's so many components and layers to this. You've got the heavyweight tilt on one side, which everyone wanted to see, in McDermott and Rempe. And by the way, McDermott has more penalty minutes now than he does minutes played this season, which is a feat unto itself. But when you look at the rest of the guys that were squaring off around the ice, not necessarily fighters. John Marino, Curtis Lazar, like, these are guys that have a ton of fight in them. And so what I'll say is I could not give the New Jersey Devils higher marks for stepping up on Wednesday night at the Garden, because they were pushed around by the Rangers. They were beaten up by Matt Rempe. And yeah, they were upset that he didn't answer the bell last time they played. But to me, this was a huge message sent for New Jersey, who didn't have anything to play for. Their season is mostly over, to send a message to next season that this team is in the fight. They have pride. They care about what they're doing. And, you know, you see all that handed out. It's 100 and some penalty minutes in 2 seconds of action is pretty impressive.
Yeah, the game log is impressive. 130 penalty minutes in 2 seconds. And actually, if you go by the 5 minute mark of the first period, you can actually chalk up another 26 PIMs onto that number as well. So in the first 5 minutes of that game, 156 penalty minutes between the Rangers and the Devils. I agree with you on the Devils. Just again, to do that, right? To sit there and say, okay, we're going to kind of stand up for one another. There was also some great clips came out of that. I know a bunch of people have the freeze frame. I forget which Devils player it is, but he's squared up before the Rangers guys even in frame. So it looks like he's just squaring up against absolutely no one. You had Keandre Miller, who had a significant size advantage over John Marino. And then after the fight, hit him with the you're too short, you're too little celebration. So, I mean, that was true raw emotion between those two. And just I mean,
another reminder that big people beat up on little people.
Yeah, punching down, I guess they could call it. Plenty of PIMs last night. And then once that all kind of settled, it actually turned into a hell of a hockey game, Frank. And one guy who stood out was Alexi Lafreniere, and he's our next topic of discussion here. Johnny Lazarus from Morning Cup of Hockey, he loves banging the drum that one day Lafreniere will be a 100-point player. Obviously not going to happen this year, but he's inching his way to the 60-point mark this year. And what I like about Lafreniere, Frank, is that as this year's gone on, he's continued to show a lot of improvements. His points per game on the season is 0.71. His points per game since February 1st is 0.98. He's continued to look better and better, and he's an important part of this Rangers forward group heading into the playoffs.
He is, and I love the slow burn in which he's kind of built his career. He's been written off, you know, counted out, and he's just kind of quietly done the work. It hasn't been perfect. It's come in fits and starts. He's had moments in his career where you see the flash. And I love that there hasn't been any pout. There's just been this stick-to-itiveness where he's confident that he can be a significant player in this league. It's taken a while to get to this point. I think we kind of forget that it's really difficult when you see Connor Bedard and Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid and all these other number one overall picks just step in and light the league on fire. Just because you're a number one pick and share the same title doesn't mean that you have the same skill or capability or ability to translate your game to the NHL. One of the biggest things in watching Lafreniere, he's obviously talented, but he's just not as fast. He doesn't skate as well as those guys. He doesn't skate as well as Jack Hughes, for instance. And that really kind of holds him back. But that doesn't mean he can't be a good player. And I think it's premature that we got to the point where we were saying, oh, he's a number one pick, he's a bust. So he's closing in on 60 points. He's closing in on 30 goals for the first time in his career. He might not get there this season, but if you could take the gap that he, you know, bridged from last year to this year and then stack another brick on top of that next year, potentially you're talking about a 70-point player in this league, which is certainly not nothing. And at the age of still just 22, what's wrong with that? I mean, we put these expectations and titles and hopes on kids' projections. And yeah, people are looking at this year going, what's so special about this? This is just a normal Calder Trophy winning season from a top rookie. And he's 22. That's not great. But I look at where he was and where he's gotten to, and I'd say that's a real significant improvement for not just Alexi Lafreniere, but for the New York Rangers.
Yeah, you look back at that 2020 NHL draft. I mean, Tim Stützle was impactful from the second he got to the league. You could honestly say the same about Lucas Raymond, who's got another 60-point season under his belt now. Jake Sanderson's looked good for the Sens, but the steps that both Lafreniere and Byfield have taken in this last year, Frank, have been solid and kind of makes you, again, look at the top of this draft class a little bit differently.
Not everyone's there. You know, I say this all the time, development in the NHL, first off, it's not a developmental league, but it's also not a straight line. You look at where Byfield was last year, 3 goals, he's up to 19. And when you watch him with the eye test for a big man of that size to skate as well as he does and do the things that he does, I'm incredibly bullish on where some of these guys are going. They didn't arrive necessarily on time and when everyone wanted them to or thought they might, but man, they're changing the perception of themselves.
The other big result from last night, how about the Dallas Stars laying a beating on the Edmonton Oilers? 5-0, the final. The Dallas Stars now up to 7 guys on their roster who have hit the 20-goal mark this year, and it wasn't just the big guns who were delivering for them last night either, Frank. As you can tell by this graphic and the numbers these guys have put up, They are deep. It's four lines that all skate hard, can all impact the game offensively. It's three D pairings that are all effective. And oh yeah, Jake Ottinger's looking like a Vezina caliber goalie once again.
Oh yeah, Jamie Benn is one goal away from making it 8-20 goal scorers too. He's at 19. So the depth in Dallas is what's scary. But to me, it's also the way they play. They're a little bit like Colorado in that they can play any which way you want. You want speed? Sure. You want skill? Awesome. But they can also beat you up too. They've got some size. They've got some meanness. And they've got a game that they've proven can translate really well to the playoffs. Remember, the core of this team, the chunk of this team has gone on a run to the Stanley Cup final. Some people say the bubble final, that didn't count. Good luck telling that to the Stars and the Lightning, who got to the very end of what was maybe the most trying Stanley Cup playoffs we've ever seen for a number of different circumstances. And that experience, I think, has carried them a bit. Now, here's the scary part. You mentioned Jake Ottinger. This team has played well all year from start to finish. They were, by the way, my Stanley Cup pick from the start of the year, preseason bold predictions. I don't see any reason to waver, but at some point this year, as they dealt with an injury to Miro Heiskanen, as they missed Jake Ottinger for a big chunk of time, Jake Ottinger came back and didn't really play that well. Did you see his numbers over the last six games? 6-0-0 with a .955 save percentage and two shutouts. Jake Ottinger has been ridiculous. And the fact that he has playoff experience to back that up, man, if he enters the postseason on an era of good feelings, look out, Western Conference.
I was going to say, and we'll do this very quickly before we move on. Are the Stars in a class of their own in the West, or are they still in a tier with the Avs and Canucks maybe?
It's really hard to separate anyone from, like, the way I look at it is six teams with authentic chances to win the Stanley Cup this year. I think based on the way matchups are situated, look, I like the Winnipeg Jets. I know they're not playing well right now. Maybe they could beat the Colorado Avalanche in round one, but to think that they're going to get through the Avs and then the Stars after that, I could see them beating one. I don't see them beating both to advance to the West final. So I kind of, you know, on the list of six teams, the Jets are there, but it's kind of matchup dependent. The two teams that I have outside of the mix are the two teams that are in, you know, fighting for seeding, whether it's 7 or 8 in the Kings and Preds. So I don't consider those teams as part of that group of six elite teams, but think about what you would be feeling right now if you're in Edmonton and you mentioned the Stars game and result last night. The Oilers have had some hiccups here over the last number of weeks. And after clawing all the way back into the race, congratulations, your treat is the defending cup champs, who, by the way, look like the defending cup champs of late and haven't gotten Hurdle in their lineup yet and could potentially get Mark Stone back. So it's a really tough slog in the West. At least two teams are guaranteed to lose in the first round of that six. And that's going to be a one-way ticket to Heartbreak City.
Frank, I said quickly.
Hey, we got. I always keep an eye on the clock, and we got plenty of time. We're 12 minutes in.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. We do have Eric Erlandson, LightningInsider.com, coming up in a couple of minutes. But let's head out east and talk a little bit more about the Philadelphia Flyers. Another day, another viral John Tortorella press conference. That's the way things usually go around here. Let's take a listen into what Torts had to say yesterday to the media.
Right, it always comes. Oh, they're going to quit on him. It follows me around. And so be it. If a player is going to quit on me, or players are going to quit on me because I'm trying to make them better people and better athletes, you got the wrong damn coach here, and you got the wrong damn people here. So I'm not sure what goes on. My job is I am going to push athletes, and I try to stay away from I have other things on my mind that I don't give you. I was in control the other night. What I said I meant. And quite honestly, when I watch the tape now, I'm more concerned than just the second period. Because I'm so proud of the team getting here And I guess now the narrative out there is, because I've heard from other people, that they're young, they're not supposed to be here. Bullshit. We're here. We're here. Face it. And let's be better. And I don't think we're ready to be better. And that's my problem with us right now. And it is my job. I have not done a good enough job to get them over the hump after playing those seven games. And then each game as it goes down, we have six left. I haven't done a good enough job to make them understand we have to be different now. We have to be at a different level. That's my frustration with me, and that's my frustration with the team. And if people can't handle it, so be it.
He didn't want to end that with "so be it." There was another.
No, I think there was almost a. I thought I heard a, but I didn't. I don't think we got that to that far. He just got fined again. I don't think he wanted another one. Look. I love the eloquence of day after John Tortorella. I also love the passion that he shows after games. I'll take him at his word that he was in control and knew exactly what he was saying after the game the other night. But what I think is still true and also still a tactical error is I just disagree with his thought process from moving forward. Like, I love the idea of pushing and continuing to try and get this Flyers team to where they want to be. But let's take a step back and look at this with some reality from 10,000 feet, which is the Flyers are an overmatched team on a nightly basis. They don't have the talent. They don't have the horses. And the fact that they're even in this conversation is an absolute bonus and a testament to the job that John Tortorella has done this season, period, full stop. However, you can't walk around all day and after every game carrying an iron hammer to bludgeon these guys. Calling your team soft is the worst thing that you can say as an NHL coach. That is way bigger, way deeper than any F-bomb that he might put out in a press conference. That's the biggest curse word in a hockey dressing room. So when you do that, you better pick your spots appropriately. And my issue is that this team, even in that game, watch the last 3 minutes of it. They're down one to the Islanders. They did a hell of a job denying New York from scoring an empty netter, which would have iced the game. And then they just push and push and push until they score with 9 seconds left. And yeah, they gagged on it in OT and made an awful turnover. Those things happen. But this team hasn't shown 1 ounce of quit all season long. Why do you feel the need to smash them over the head after the game? I get process. I get where they're heading. But my thought process is you may say you're learning a lot about these kids. Oh, they can't play in these scenarios. They don't know what they're doing. They've shown me a lot. My answer to that would be, A, isn't this exactly what this season is about? And B, I'll close with this. These guys aren't going to learn until they're actually in these situations. So I find every part of this year to be incredibly valuable. I just think he could do a better job picking his spots.
Fair enough. All right, let's move along and get to our big segment for the day. It's the All 32 with Eric Erlandson. The All 32 is delivered by DoorDash, 20% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Eric Erlandson has been covering the Lightning for north of 20 years. You can find his work at lightninginsider.com. And right now you are covering a Bolts team that is red hot, Eric. 8-1-1 in their last 10. This heater has been going on for even longer than that as well. What's switched? What's flipped in the Lightning game to allow them to play this well?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, first, before I get started talking about torts, I can't tell you the number of memories that just came flooding back to my head and everything in the time that he was here. And a lot of those things from that 02, 03, 04 team, boy, that's, I remember a lot of those conversations with torts. And Frank, you're right. Day after John Tortorella is so much better than right after game John Tortorella, just in his thought process and his willingness to share. Ooh, lots of memories. This team right now, they are... they're deeper since the trade deadline. And Anthony Duclair has made the biggest difference here. Obviously, the points have been there. I think he's played in all but maybe one or two games since the trade deadline. But his addition to the top six has balanced everything out on their line combinations. Now you know exactly who your top six are. You know, they're interchangeable, and, you know, we've seen John Cooper move guys around all the time. But his presence in the top six has set your top six. It is now firmly established Nick Paul as your third line center. And he's almost an ideal third line center because he's got skill. I mean, that shot he scored to score the goal last night was a brilliant shot to the top far corner. He's got grit. He's got size. He can play defensive hockey. He's a very, very good third line center. So that slotted him in. So I think that's the one key thing since the trade deadline. Matt Dumba has kind of done the same thing on the back end, although he's a little out of position right now playing on the left side, you know, the last number of games. So he's trying to figure that part out of his game. But the biggest thing with this team comes down to their goaltender. Andre Vasilevsky, who missed the start of the season with back surgery, so he missed the entire training camp, basically his first 6 weeks of the year were basically his training camp. So his game right now. He is making saves that they don't look great, but then you look at it and go, wow, that was a heck of a save. So you're getting a lot of those moments out of Andre Vasilevsky. And, you know, he made a couple of those stops in the second period last night when they were up 2-1, when it was 3-1, when Toronto could have gotten back in the game, and he just shut the door. And that's what Andre Vasilevsky does. So everything that I just said is all true, but at the end of the day, it's the guy in net that makes the biggest difference for this team.
Yeah, the numbers are really stark. I mean, you look at the last 10 games for Vasilevsky. I was just talking about how good Jake Ottinger's been. But Vasilevsky, 8-1-1 in his last 10 with a 930. So, I want to ask you, Eric, about just that idea that U.S. Thanksgiving, I mean, people kind of always forget about the beginning of the season in the sense that, you know, it's a what have you done for me lately league, and how much missing all that time might have hurt his game in the beginning of this year. And then B, just the confidence level of the rest of the team that you've noticed since he's returned to form, how much does it just change the complexion of the team?
Well, and there's no doubt that, you know, getting into his groove is a big part of this team. And it's tough. I mean, Jonas Johansson did a fantastic job. He started 17 of the first 20 games. Because the idea was when Andre Vasilevsky was announced that he was going to have the back surgery, like, oh, the Lightning got to go out and find a veteran goaltender. They got to find somebody to take some of these minutes with their number one guy out. And they didn't. And they had trust in Johansson and, you know, Matt Tompkins.
And by the way, everyone blocked the Lightning from grabbing someone on waivers because they knew Tampa was looking. So I think that should be pointed out that no one wanted to hand Tampa a goalie. And the fact that I said before the season started that Johansson, I think, was like 63rd or 64th among the 64 goalies in terms of talent and ability. The fact that they got through the first quarter of the season with him is amazing.
Yeah, because his numbers didn't look great. His play was, though. He had some games where he was spectacular, you know, where he had to face 45, 46, 47 shots some nights. So he really helped this team keep their head above water with Andre Vasilevsky out. Now, there have been dips in his game. You know, there was a game in Edmonton, I think he stopped 54 shots. You're like, oh, he's back on track. And then, you know, now he's given up 5-6 night again. And I think going into the All-Star break, he was starting to find his game a little bit. And I think the 10 days off took him out of rhythm. You know, goalies is all about rhythm and finding puck and getting the feel for the game. You know, you can't replicate a game in practice no matter how hard you try. So he was getting up to all those things, and all of a sudden he hit the brakes for 10 days. And he kind of was back to trying to find his groove again. But he's there now. And with his play, the confidence level for the guys in front of him, it's on a different level. It's just completely different in how this team feels now, where, and I'm kind of exaggerating here a little bit, okay, maybe we can win this game, to now it's, all right, we're going to win this game because we've got the guy in net who's going to do it for us. And it's a good time of the year. Obviously, there was a good stretch of time. You're like, are the Lightning even going to make the playoffs? Are they just going to be finally that team that kind of takes that dip and has a hard time finding their way back? Well, they found their groove, and it's no coincidence that Andre Vasilevsky's found it right at the same time.
I have a bigger picture Tampa Bay Lightning historic question for you. And last night we saw Nikita Kucherov break his own record for most points in a season by a Lightning player. The organization, the franchise, has two retired numbers in its history with LeCavalier and St. Louis. How many guys from this current iteration, this current core, are going to see their numbers go up to the rafters eventually?
Oh, wow. Wow. How many of them are going to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I mean,
there's a group of players on this team. They're going to be in the Hall of Fame, and that's going to get their numbers up. So obviously Stamkos is going to be there. Kucherov is going to be there. Hedman's going to be there. Those are locks. Andre Vasilevsky is almost certainly going to be up there. Now you're going to talk about Braden Point. Is his number going to be up there? I mean, that's five players off this current team. And I would argue probably at least four of those are probably locks for the Hall of Fame at some point. I mean, that's, you know, we get spoiled here in Tampa because they've had this type of talent for a decade now, and you watch it every night. Eventually that talent is, you know, Father Time wins every time. He's going to win this race as well. So those players will eventually move on, and, you know, they'll have to bring in. I'm confident in saying you might never see this type of accumulated talent, certainly in this franchise, anytime soon. So I hope the fans in here in Tampa understand what they've had a chance to witness over the past decade with Stamkos and Kucherov and Point and Hedman and Vasilevsky and all these guys that are just world-class players. They're at different points of their career as well, but they're all still very productive. And I would argue that all five of those guys will one day have their jerseys in the rafter.
Wow. Yeah. Four future Hall of Famers, and it all adds up to one roster that I don't think either division winner this year wants to run into in round one of the playoffs. Eric, as always, really appreciate your time, man. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime, boys. Be well.
Another big shout out to Eric Erlinson from lightninginsider.com. Frank, we're going to get to our daily face-off inbox question over in the DFO YouTube. We got a fun one in here. I need to find the name. Dylan Labossier is in. He's heading to Nashville for the first time this week with some friends. He wants to know what's something he's got to do in Nashville. Do you maybe have a restaurant bar recommendation for him? What do you love about Nashville?
Yeah. Oh my God. I've spent so much time in Nashville, and May in the future weeks, I think I'm going to be hanging with the Vancouver Canucks in round one. If they get the Preds, I will be in Nashville again. All right. Hattie B's hot chicken is a must. I would say Tootsie's Third Floor. I love Tootsie's in general. Like, you could just take the whole thing and inject it into my veins, but I like the Third Floor sort of rooftop patio, so to speak. Same thing. There's another bar a little bit further down Broadway, Crazy Town, but you got to keep going up to the Third Floor. You know, no one really knows the steps on, you know, continuing up. It's almost like a hidden level. And then you get up there and it's just the best time. Trying to think some other restaurants. I think it's called Bourbon Steak. I think it's in the JW Marriott. I think it's you know, on one of the top floors up there. Unbelievable steakhouse, really well done. And I'm sure I've got other ones. Send me a tweet.
Yeah,
just my off the top of my head.
My memory from covering the draft in Nashville is a little fuzzy, so I don't know if my recommendations will be any good. So let's move along to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. I am looking at the two teams in Florida tonight. Tampa Bay, red hot, +150 on the puck line, taking on a Montreal Canadiens team that, granted, 5-3-2 in their last 10. They are not rolling over and dying late in the season. But I like this price on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who, as we just talked about with Eric, red hot so far this season. Montreal, well under 500 on home ice this year. Helps me make this bet as well. And then I'm going with a bounce back game, Frank. I like the Florida Panthers to get right back on track here. It's been a rough week for the Cats. They've lost two in a row. It's been a rough couple of weeks. They're 2-7-1 in their last 10. Regardless, they have been one of the best road teams in the NHL at 25-14 straight up. Love the couple of plus 150 some price tags on the Panthers and Lightning. So I'm rolling with them both. Need one to win by two or more to make some money tonight. And that brings us to Garbage Time, brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Face-Off Survivor Game. You can head to Wendy's at lunchtime, breakfast time, whenever, to try the new Cinnabon Pull Apart. Get that and a small coffee for just $5. Order today on the Wendy's app. Garbage Time today, Frank, wanted to give some love to Jeff Skinner, who played his 1,000th career NHL game the other day. His teammates rolled him out to the bench and presented him with a sweet little Sea-Doo as well as a gift for his 1,000th game. Jeff Skinner, a guy who's kind of gone to 1,000 games the hard way in the sense that he hasn't played in the playoffs, Frank. He's just been grinding it out with both the Canes and Sabres. So shout out to Skinner for game 1,000.
Wait, has he really not played a single playoff game?
Or if he has, it's like one or like it's a very minimal amount of playoff games.
He has not played in one playoff game.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. That is 1,000 the hard way, as you said. Wow. Did not realize that. That's tough. And look, here's the thing is for a really talented goal scorer that, you know, scored 40 that first year in Buffalo, like he had a choice, sign an extension with the Sabres or not. And he opted to stay, obviously a great ticket that he signed for, but he knew that there might be some pain that comes with that in terms of not being able to taste the playoffs. But my guess is with the way the Sabres are trending, and I know it's been an incredibly tough year, but I like the way that they've played since January 1st. I still am a believer in the way that that defense core is assembled. And I love the Bowen Byram addition. My guess is he won't have to wait too much longer and that he will get a taste of it at some point on this contract, which runs through 2027.
Still a bit of time on that deal. I give him a lot of credit for the way he's bounced back in his career as well. You mentioned 40 goals in his first season with the Sabres. In his next 112 games over 2 years, he only scored 21 and then bang, 33, 35. And this year, I mean, just a hair under a 30 goal pace, but still a strong season from Jeff.
Yeah, we didn't give any love to John Carlson this week for hitting 1,000 games as well. The epitome of efficiency for the Washington Capitals. It's been a treat to watch John Carlson since way back when he played junior hockey here in New Jersey. So really proud of watching his career the whole way through.
Here you go. That is a wrap on today's edition of Daily Faceoff Live. If you're on the YouTube, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And we'll be back tomorrow, noon Eastern, for a Friday edition of the show. Chat with you then.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.